Greg, this morning's reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 4 to 15. It can be found on pages 1137 on the Church Bibles. So it's page 1137, reading from verse 4. Christ is the culmination of the laws, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your hearts, who will be ascended into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near to you. It is your mouth and your heart, that is, the message concerning faith that proclaim, if you declare that if your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with you, your heart, that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, and the same Lord is Lord of all, and is richly blessed by all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can you call on the one they have not yet believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Imagine a team with no Team Baptist Church. In fact, imagine a team with no local churches at all. Imagine if this was just a totally secular area. People here don't own Bibles, and shops don't sell them. Christianity just isn't a daily reality for people here. Christmas and Easter are purely opportunities for commercialism and consumerism. In fact, most of the children really don't have a clue what these events are about at all, other than some fat bearded man wearing red tights and a hyperactive chocoholic bunny who for some reason insist on bestowing children with treats that they don't need, regardless of whether they have met the behaviour for which these treats are required. Think of politics, think of education, think of recreation, all completely void of Jesus. He's just not known here. A team without Christ. The sad thing is, that's not too far from the truth. We're blessed with some great churches in our area, but only a minority of locals will enter one. And that's just around Cheam. All around the world, there are so many places that don't know Jesus at all. And in some countries, it's more than secularism. It's hostility and outright persecution of any mention of Jesus. But without faith in Jesus, people are going to hell. Your family, your friends, your neighbours. That's the crux of it. Like it or not, and we often don't, that's what the Bible says. If you believe and trust the gospel, then this is what you'll believe. And it sounds so bleak when you say it. And I was thinking of different ways that I could sugarcoat it to make it just sound a bit easier, a bit more palatable. But we need to remember that without Jesus, people face an eternal separation from God. And if we don't hold firmly to that idea, then the chances are we're not going to be spurred on to share Christ with anyone. We'll keep him to ourselves and hope that somebody else does the hard work for us. And it's for that reason that mission becomes so important for the local church. Mission should be at the heart of what we do. Because if we're not engaged in mission work, then we've not really understood humanity's desperate need for the gospel and for the necessity to take it out of our churches and into our communities and around the world. You see, we live in a world where people think the right thing to do is to set off a bomb outside a concert in Manchester or stab pedestrians on London Bridge. A world where 231 Iraqi civilians have been killed in the past 2 weeks trying to flee from their own country. A world of refugees and forced displacement. A world where thousands of children are dying because of malnutrition and famine in the Yemen, in Burundi, in other countries. Where children in our own country are taking their own lives because they feel so hopeless. A world where it's estimated there are about 4.5 million victims of sex trafficking. And I could go on and on. What does this world need the most? It needs Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the righteous judge of all men. That's what we need. But do people know that? You see, the problem is that here in England, at least, most people think of Christianity as simply a list of rules, that somehow we can be made right with God by what we do, that our salvation is dependent upon our obedience. And that sounds like hard work or a bit too repressive. So most people decide they're just not interested. But the problem is that we're all flawed and we can't keep God's glorious standards. In fact, we can't even keep our own standards. And that's why we face his punishment. When we try and live by the law, we die by the law because we fail to keep it. We need a better way, something achievable for a flawed humanity. And that's what we see worked out here in Romans chapter 10. It's part of a bigger chapter, a chapter where Paul is speaking about how the message of the gospel has been received more easily by the Gentiles than by the Jews. You see, the Jews had been given the law, and they were very, very zealous about keeping it. That was what they most valued. And they were convinced, wrongly, that the Old Testament teaches that righteousness is by the law. They thought that if they could do everything it said, which obviously they couldn't, they'd be right in God's eyes. But righteousness isn't about what we do, but about our faith. It's about faith in Jesus. That's our message. So follow Paul's argument here with me as we look into this passage. Verses 4 to 7. Christ is the culmination of the law, so that there might be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes this about the righteousness that's by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. So what Paul is saying here is that Jesus has fulfilled the law. He is what it was all about. You see, Moses showed that it was impossible to be made right with God by keeping the law. But Jesus fulfilled it all himself, so that anybody who trusts in him can be made righteous in God's sight. So therefore, in verses 6 and 7, we don't need anyone to go up into heaven to bring God down. Because God sent his perfect Son down into the world. And we don't need anybody to go down into death to bring Christ back. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to believe this message and then share its life-changing truths with others. We need to be engaged with mission. So I think the rest of this passage tells us four important things this morning about mission and why we should be involved in it. So firstly, mission is both public and personal. How do you know if someone really believes and trusts in Jesus? Well, it can be tricky, but there are two things that Paul says are essential. Look with me at verses 8 to 9. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, a true believer will declare with their mouths that Jesus is the King and believe in their hearts that he rose from the dead to prove it. There's both a public and a personal element to this. And we should be looking for that in ourselves and in the people that we witness to. See, publicly, a believer must be able to be vocal about their faith. Now, I don't mean that that means we need to be going into the streets and arguing with anybody who disagrees with something we think. But you have to be willing to open your mouth and admit that you're a Christian, to witness to your own faith. You should be able to say to anybody who asks you that you are following Jesus, even if sometimes that's scary. The easiest thing in the world is to stay quiet. But is that being faithful? One of the main ways that we vocalize our faith as Christians is when we're baptized. It's an opportunity for us to declare to the gathered church and to the guests that this is what we believe. And perhaps that's something that you need to do. Perhaps it's time for you to go public in your faith. We've got a baptism service coming up on Sunday the 9th of July in the evening. Come and speak to myself or to Nigel if you think that's something that might be right for you. I mean, I sometimes hear, I don't know if you get this, but I sometimes hear people say, I don't talk about my faith. For me, it's a personal thing. And I always kind of wonder what they mean by that. Because if you believe the gospel is true, then you'll take opportunities that come to speak about Jesus because you love him and you want other people to love him too. See, when I really love something, I can't help but talk about it. Having said that, however, a believer must also be one personally in the heart. And that's harder for people to see. But a true believer will have made a decision to follow Jesus because they trust he really was resurrected for their salvation. This is about knowing God, being in a personal relationship with him, about walking with him as much when you're by yourself as you are when you're with other people. And that in time will start to become more and more visible to other people when you slowly start to look more and more like Jesus. Look with me at verse 10. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I think this is basically two ways of saying the same thing. When you accept the message of Christ, you know in your heart that you're right with God, and your mouth declares his salvation. It's both personal and public. So once we understand how a person's saved, we need to understand who it is that we need to share this message with. Who needs to hear it the most? Well, secondly, mission is for everyone. Verse 12 and 13 are this amazing motivator to spur us on to mission. There's no one beyond the reach or the potential of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the message offered to anyone. Let's look at that, verses 11 to 13. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who believes, no difference. Everyone who calls on his name. Don't you see that this means Jesus Christ is as much for your unbelieving parents, spouse, children or siblings, as he is for your scary neighbour, your Muslim work colleague, your boss or your MP. Jesus came for the English, the Israeli, the North Korean, the Indian, the Australian, the Afghan, the Namibian, the Canadian, the Saudi. There's no difference between any of us. Jesus is the same Lord over all. And anyone who calls on his name will be blessed with riches beyond your imagination. Eternal life in a perfect relationship with the Creator God in a new earth. It's beyond anything we deserve. And yet, the wonder of verse 13 is that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is Lord of all, irrespective of race, language, culture, or colour. So is it time that we broaden our horizons? We think about who we can share Jesus with. Let's not just look for people who are like us, because Jesus is Lord of all. Let's take school as an example. Your classes will be made up of all different types, but Jesus is Lord of the nerd, the cool kid, the emo kid, the class joker, the friends, and the bullies. But who do you feel most like sharing Jesus with? Because his family will be made up of every tribe, tongue, and type. Shouldn't this be the message that we need to share Jesus with everyone that we come across? It's such a privilege and a joy. Salvation is open to all. But just because it's open doesn't mean it's accessible, does it? Not everyone will get the chance to hear about Jesus. So thirdly, mission is people dependent. Let's have a quick intermission. Does anybody want some chocolate? Yeah, Mark, you put your hand up. There's some chocolate there in the bag if you want to come and get it. That's fine. I didn't prep him for this one. So you're welcome. You can share it with the people around you as a reward. Now, you would not be able to eat that chocolate unless you'd taken it from me. But you couldn't take it from me if you didn't know that I had it. And you wouldn't know that I had it if I hadn't told you. And I wouldn't have told you if I hadn't actually gone to the shop yesterday and bought it. Do you see how Paul's methodical line of thinking works here in verses 14 to 15? His point is so clear. People won't hear unless we go. Look with me at these verses 14 to 15 as Paul works backwards to make his point. How then can they call on, how can they trust in the one that they haven't believed in? Well, they can't. And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? Well, they can't. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? I'm starting to see a pattern emerging. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Well, again, they can't. They stay at home. They don't go out. And so people aren't saved. That's Paul's line of reasoning, right? People won't hear if we don't go. This chain of events has to be fulfilled so that people hear about and, God willing, believe in Jesus. Now, we know, don't we, that this doesn't always result in salvation. This chapter, chapter 10, it shows that Israel had these prophets sent to them, and even the Son of God himself. They heard, but it didn't result in much belief or salvation. But is that a reason not to go? So another comment that I often hear is, what about the people who never got to hear about Jesus? But I think that we are the solution to that problem. If we're concerned about that, then we'll go. Because the more that people talk about Jesus, the more people get an opportunity to trust him. In preaching, you can be directly involved in the salvation of others. And that isn't just the person standing up at the front on Sunday morning. You can preach the gospel every time you open your mouth and declare that Jesus is Lord. Every conversation that you have where you share something of Christ, something of what he's doing in your life, something of the gospel, that's you being God's mouthpiece here on earth. But what's in it for you? Why should you bother being involved in mission? Well, who here, hands up, if you think feet are gross? Like the fact that I'm not wearing shoes, does that weird anybody out? Well, the great thing about mission is that God turns your stinky, sweaty feet into a thing of beauty. So fourthly, mission is a wonderful privilege. You have the promise of salvation. Why would you ever want to keep that to yourself? You're the one privileged with the task of bringing the gospel. Now, gospel means good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth to live a sinless and blameless life. That he willingly gave up his life to die on a cross as a perfect sacrifice to pay for all the sins that you will ever commit. And then after 3 days, Jesus rose again, resurrected to show that he has defeated death and beaten sin. And anybody trusting in him will do the same. This is the gospel. This and so much more. And if you carry that good news with you wherever you go, to whoever you meet, then my friend, your feet are beautiful indeed. No pungent odors. They carry the very aroma of Christ. Christ living in you and ready to be shared. Don't look at someone else in the church expecting them to do it for you. This is for you. And genuinely, there is nothing in this world that compares to helping bring somebody to Christ. Knowing that you have played your God-given part in a person receiving eternal life is a blessing you'll never deserve. Imagine this. Imagine spending eternity with even just one soul that was thankful for your presence in their life. Just one person who will live forever because you were willing to open your mouth and witness for Jesus. What compares to that? So let's go, right? What's holding us back? Probably a number of things. Fear of rejection, a lack of confidence, awkwardness or embarrassment, physical concerns. We can always think of reasons not to go. But what does God want from us? How can we be involved in mission? Well, to close, here are 4 areas that I think you should consider just thinking about in mission, praying about these things. Number 1, who are the people that God has put around you who need Jesus? What is your current mission field? This may well be your workplace, colleagues. It might be in your home, with your family. It could be with your mates in school, or the other parents at the school gate. Who's already in your immediate circle that you can get alongside with your beautiful feet? Number 2, think about and take opportunities that come up where you can be those feet that bring the good news to those who don't know Jesus. We need loads of helpers for our summer holiday club this summer to share Christ with our local children. Tiddlers are in desperate need, and they have so many parents from the community coming every week through our doors. There's summer camps always looking for volunteers. Or there's all sorts of short-term mission trips that you can get involved with. Fiona just told us about one that she's been involved with later on this year. Chances to take small steps in witnessing for Jesus, using opportunities that already exist. Number three, many people would love to go abroad and do something, but that's just not an option for one reason or another, and some of those reasons are definitely better than others. But don't forget, as we've been helpfully reminded during this service, we already have at least 5 missionary couples or families overseas, serving Jesus, taking the gospel to others. Perhaps you can be a person who supports mission work with your prayers and your pockets. Make a commitment to pray for our missionaries, or to support them financially, or both. There are also other organizations and missionaries who need this kind of support. Can you help? What will you do to support those who've already taken steps to leave behind friends and family, to bring the good news to those who don't yet believe? And fourthly, for some of you, you really do need to prayerfully and carefully consider if God is raising you up to send you away from Qin. Are you called to be those beautiful feet that take the gospel to a place that really needs it? Are you willing and ready to go? Has God put a place or a people in your heart? Perhaps that's overseas, or it might be an area within our own country that needs the hope of the gospel. Is there any greater cause that you can give your life to than enabling other people to hear of the one in whom they can believe and be saved? God will be glorified as more people turn to him for salvation. And there are innumerable places around the world that need people to go, to be the feet that bring the good news. Proclaiming that Jesus has delivered us from sin and death is the greatest message you can ever give someone. It's a message that should be on our mouths and in our hearts. A message for all people everywhere. Yet it requires people who will hear the call and go. But what a wonderful privilege. Will you be involved in mission? Is it a cause that you're willing to give your life for? Will you be the beautiful feet? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity on this Sunday morning to remember world mission, to remember the missionaries we've sent out, and the many thousands and thousands of missionaries there are around the world witnessing for you. We thank you for the message of the gospel. We thank you that it's true, and we thank you that we can believe it. I pray for anybody here this morning who's still thinking about whether this message is true. Please show them yourself, we pray. But for all of us, give us a heart that beats for mission. Give us a love for people that are not necessarily our own. Help us to share Jesus with whoever we come across, to be the beautiful feet. I pray in your precious name. Amen.